Good morning. It's good to be with you here this morning in the house of the Lord. Glad that the weather has turned. This song starts out morning. I see you in the sunrise every morning. I used to like getting up with my dogs when the days were longer, you know, when they changed the time change and we can get up before I go to work and watch the sunrise, and this song would come to mind sometimes. So let's stand together and enter the Lord's presence. I see you in the sunrise every morning. It's like a picture that you've painted for me. A love letter in the sky. Story. I could have had a really different story, but you came down from heaven to restore. Forever save my life. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody. You're breaking down the weight of all my mountains. Even when it feels like I'm surrounded, you never leave my side. Oh, nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in awe of your amazing ways. I worship you. As long as I am breathing, God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Oh, what a song to sing.
Announcements here. Tonight we'll continue the Revelation series starting at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow there'll be a Zoom meeting with ABSC to discuss the local missions project. March 5th through the 12th is a prayer for North America missionaries. beginning Annie Armstrong Easter offerings for NA missions. So that'd be the March 5th through the 12th week. April 1st is a one-day Serve Local Acts 1-8 Mission Project. And then also save the date for Children's Camp on June 11th through the 14th, and that'll be here at the church this year again.
I've asked Lacey to direct the skits this year, and she asked me to ask y'all if there's anybody from youth all the way to adult. She's got a sign-up sheet with all the characters, and if y'all would like to be a part in that, it's a lot of fun, and sign-up sheet's in the back.
Thank you, Donna.
All right. Will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for everything you've blessed us with. Lord, I pray you just be with us this morning. God, give us the ears to hear and the eyes to see. God, I pray you just watch and protect us, and let's have a great week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Encamped along the hills of life, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the foe and veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword the word of God. We tread the roads the saints above with shouts of triumph cry. By faith they like a whirlwind threat swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him who overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of life, our hearts with love aflame, we'll vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name. Faith is the victory, faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. History, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring. In every season, from where I'm standing, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life, I see your promises in fulfillment. All over my life, all over my life. Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment. All over my life, all over my life. See the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sins rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sins rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. Oh, I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life. All over my life. I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life. All over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life. All over my life. Why should I fear? The evidence is here. Why creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that He will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is free. I believe in the resurrection, that He will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Fred Rogers' sermon last week. I know a number of you did. And so that inspired this whole service, Roger, was the one phrase I remember in Scripture that says, when Jesus comes again, will he find faith on the earth? Roger explained to us last week how it's going to be tough, tougher and tougher to keep the faith. So that's what this whole service has been about, is to encourage your faith this morning. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er his own. Your grief and despair, cast all your cares and your burdens upon him, and leave them there, oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail. In God, he provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules and reigns upon his throne. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own.
Amen. We're delighted that you're in the Lord's house with us today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we'd like for you to fill out one of those visitor's cards that's in the pew there in front of you and drop it in the offering plate as it comes by. Mackenzie and Austin, after the service, could y'all meet me up here at the front? I'd like to visit with you just a little bit. Our men will come now and receive the morning offering. And one of our men will lead us in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity that we have. We just thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you give us. And I want to pray for this offering. Pray for both the gift and the giver. Lord, I want to pray for Brother Roger and pray for your Holy Spirit to fall on him, to bless us through him. And Lord, I continue to pray for Brother Lanny and Brother Larry and all of those in our church that need your healing. Lord, we know that you mean good for us, and we just praise you for that. Now, bless this offering, and I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Children's Church, you are dismissed at this time. Good morning, Osage. I tell you, Brother Matt, I thank you for that song service. That was good. You all think this week's good? Wait till next week. If we're talking about fishing today, I can't wait to hear the songs next week. All right, so, yeah, you know, at that time of year, you know, spring coming on, I mean, we can feel it. You know, it's a beautiful day today. You know, I enjoy fishing. I really do. I don't get to do as much of it as I would like. But, you know, it's something that I enjoy doing. It relaxes me. It's calming. I did something I grew up doing. You know, those that knew my grandpa Youngblood, you know, he taught me to fish. He loved to fish. I remember going fishing ever since, I was big enough to go. The earliest I ever remember, I think I was 4 years old. We had went over to Bull Shows, and we did a lot of fishing under the lights. He loved to fish under the lights over there. And I remember fishing one night, and the storm came up. Because where we fished along this bluff, and you really couldn't see, you know. And there wasn't cell phones in those days to be able to tell what was coming and all that stuff. So we was fishing, and a storm came up, and, it came up quick. And I remember my grandpa putting a life jacket on me and shoving me up in underneath the front of the boat, underneath the little V-bottom boat. You know, and he said, "You stay under here in case we flip." And I'm like, "Well, who's going to come get me if we flip?" You know, that was the first thing come to my mind. You know, where y'all going? And I remember, boy, it was rough, the water coming over the boat. And we finally got back to the shore. And we just hooked up the boat on the trailer. And, the storm quit. The stars came out. And, I was soaking wet. And I remember Grandpa saying, "Well, we're here. We just will go back." So we unloaded the boat, got back in it, and I remember we hadn't caught a fish up to that point. And we went back, and we loaded the boat. We caught more fish that night. And, I wasn't 4 years old, and I just remember how many fish we had the next morning in the boat. It was just unbelievable, you know. So the one thing about fishing is I've learned fishing is unpredictable. You know, there's no guarantee of reward when you go fishing. It requires patience and risk. Back in biblical time, when they went fishing back then, they didn't just use the rod and reel, you know, whenever Jesus went to meet them. They'd use something like this, a fishing net. And don't ask me to throw this, because some of you would be in danger. But, I got this one to help thin out the fish in my pond. I put too many in my pond, so I got this to kind of catch a bunch at one time to thin it out. You know, and back then they would throw these nets, or, you know, they would drop these nets with these weights in the deep part, and then they just let them fall in faith that they would catch something. You know, they let it go to the bottom. Then whenever they jerk it, you know, they jerk up these cords and it cinches up the weights underneath the fish, because once the net falls on top of the fish are trying to swim up, trying to get out of it. And they jerk it up to catch the fish and bring them into the boat. Now, and that's what we're going to talk about today is how to catch fish now and how to go fishing. I'm sure here everybody like Rog, you know, even an idiot can fish. But, you know, I'm going to teach you how to fish. And not only fish, but be fishers of men. I want to help you, you know, because I think we've gotten a little relaxed in that area. All right? And I'm not just pointing fingers out there. I'm talking about myself as well. And that's what I want to look at today. I've not really kept up with it a whole lot. I know me and Holly talked about it a couple of days ago, but what's going on in Kentucky and that revival that's going on? Somebody went fishing to get that started. All right? Somebody went out and caught some people to come in and get it started, and God took over. You know, so going to be in the book of Mark, in the first chapter. Book of Mark, the first chapter, and I'm going to be in verse 16. Just going to read about three verses here. If you would stand with me, and we'll start with verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. You may be seated. So here we see Jesus talking to some fishermen. All right? This is how they made their living. Every day, out fishing. I used to think that's what I wanted to do, was fish for a living. You know, I watched these guys on the fishing pro circuit, fishing tour, and, you know, I used to fish a few tournaments, you know, some time back. Well, let me tell you, that's work. You sit out there on that lake for 8 hours and just fish as fast as you can fish in the hot sun or whatever the temperature is. I mean, you know, it's not guaranteed each day. And it's a lot of work. And, I mean, it got to where my back would hurt. And, I mean, I felt worse when I came home and when I left. So, you know, it's a lot of hard work. And Jesus came to where these fishermen was at. He came to their work and talked to them. But he talked to them in a language they could understand. All right? Because, you know, to be honest, you look at these fishermen, they probably wasn't educated. You know, they didn't go to school a lot. They probably, you know, fishing, they probably fished 7 days a week. They wasn't in the temple a lot, so they wasn't going to understand a lot of churchy words. All right, so Jesus talked to them in a way that they would understand. It's something that they understood when he said, "Be fishers of men." You know, they knew right away that they wasn't going to throw nets and catch guys, you know, suck them up in a net or, you know, set a hook in their mouth or whatever. But they understood what he meant, you know. But what we want to look at today is, what does it mean for us to be fishers of men? So I've got a few pointers I'm going to give you on becoming a fishers of men. Number one, you got to find where the fish are. You know, if you go to somebody's new pond that's never had fish put in it, and you sit there and fish, how well are you going to do? All right? You can't catch fish in a barrel. It's pretty simple. If we want to catch people, we want to catch people for Christ, you know, you have to go where they're at. You have to go where the fish are at. All right, now this is true with the gospel, and you need to go to the people. You know, the great thing about where we live at here in this part of the country, you know, if you want to go fishing, you go any direction and go fishing. We have lots of ponds, we have rivers, we have creeks, we have lakes. I mean, you can fish anywhere. I mean, there are so many places, numerous places that you can go to. You know, and it's the same with people. You got your family. You got your neighborhood. You got where you work. Just your friends, the ones that you talk to every day. You know, these are the ones, this is where you want to go fishing at. All right, if we just sit here in the boat and just try to fish right here next to the people next to you, we're not going to catch a lot. We got to go out and get them in the boat. All right. Fish don't jump in the boat. It just doesn't happen. You have to get them to the boat. All right. I mean, I've only been one time that I can think of that I've seen a fish jump in the boat. All right. And my grandpa couldn't understand what we was screaming at him, because we was fishing over there under the lights, and he had hooked into a big fish. Well, the fish jumped up on this side of the boat at the light and landed in the boat. Well, me and Kelly, we're screaming at him, "Grandpa, quit jerking, quit pulling, you're going to, you know, we got him." He thought we was cheering him on, and he's just jerking for all he's worth. He pulled it right back out of the boat. And then it got off, and he stopped me. He yelled, "What was you kids screaming about?" We said, Grandpa, you done had him. You had him, but you jerked him out of the boat. You know, so we have to get them to come in here. You know, we have to go out there to catch the fish. We have to go out there to get the people. So, you know, and sometimes you're going to go fishing and you're not going to catch anything. I do it quite often. So it's something that we have to continue to do. Sometimes people accept the gospel. Sometimes they don't. But one thing we have to remember for sure, that people will never get saved unless we speak out. Romans 10:14 tells us this: but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? All right? So, you know, sometimes you're going to go out and you're going to get rejected. You're going to get told no. You know, you're not going to catch fish. I mean, you know, I'm sure Brother Lanny would love it every time he came up here and he did an invitation. The front was filled. People come and got saved. I mean, that would be the ultimate fishing trip, correct? And that it doesn't always happen that way. So do you not go fishing anymore? Do you just quit? You know, there's a price that sometimes we have to pay, but sometimes to catch more fish, sometimes you got to bait the hook. All right, that's number two. You got to bait the hook or cast the net. First off, you got to use the right bait for what you're fishing for. All right, you know, sometimes y'all can't tell, but now I like using these hands-on things. I like painting pictures. You know, if you're going to go fishing, you know, if you want to go out and catch a largemouth bass or something, I'll take one of these poles, you know, and I'll use one of these big worms. Now, how many little fish do you think I'll catch on that? I don't catch a lot. All right. So, you know, what I'm saying is, you can't go talk to children in the same way that you would adults. You can't share that away. They're not going to understand. You have to talk to them in a way they understand. You know, it's just the same way of fishing. You know, I started to break down different kinds of fish, you know, as in different people. You know, perch being little kids, and, you know, and I had it all wrote out, and I had it down that, you know, bass would be the ladies, you know, the most sought after fish and stuff. But I knew good and well that my friend Russell would yell, "Yep, largemouth bass," you know, and I said, "Nope, I'm not going there." So I just left that alone. But we have to use the correct bait, you know, to catch the fish that we want to catch. You know, my favorite fishing probably now is I love to trout fish. My grandpa, once again, got me started on that. But I can't take that pole. I take this pole. This is the one that I use when I go trout fishing. Now, can you even see that line that hook's tied on? You know, the reason is for that, you can't hardly even see the hook because it's very little. The reason for that is trout are very picky. They're very finicky fish to catch. The water's very clear. They can see your line very good. So you have to use really light line. That's just 2-pound test line is all that is. And, you know, they don't hit artificial bait real well. They like live bait. Now, I have found when fishing that fish like live bait better than they do artificial bait. You know what? I found out that's how people is, too. They like the real thing. So, what do? You give them the real bait. You give them the Word of God. You tell them, all right, you let them see you. Too many times we try to catch a fish and we're using the wrong stuff. All right, we can't, if I'm going to use light line or something to get somebody to come to church, we get them, you're not ever going to get them in the boat. They're not ever going to come to know Christ, because we might get them here to the church and we might not, because they're going to break off. They're going to get away. You all know as well as I do that we've had fish that got away. We might get them here to the boat, but then they get loose and they swim away. We don't ever see them again. We don't get a good hook set. We get in a hurry. And that brings up the next one is fishing is patience. You can't rush the process. Whenever I go fishing, I may be gone for hours. I don't just go for minutes. I may go for hours. It's a process that, we have to be patient on. And I think that's why a lot of people don't enjoy fishing, is because it endures patience. All they want to do is the catching. They don't want to do the fishing. I've got a spouse that's that away when she wants to go. So, if I ain't catching anything, I'm not sitting here. Yes, we all want to catch them, but we have to. We got to use the bait. And when I was talking about live bait, I'm talking about us. When we share the gospel, when we cast the gospel, being fishers of men, don't just cast it out there and leave it. All right, don't just walk off. When you cast your line out into the lake or in the water, or in the pond, you've got your bobber going out there. You've got to wait for it to go under. You got to be patient. If you just throw it out there, reel it back in, or walk off, it's not going to work. And the way you do that is you engage in these people regular, all right, every day. This is what it takes to reel in the fish. Be patient, take your time, work the fish. All right, just keep sharing. You reeling in a fish and you keep working it, what's it do? It gets tired and it finally comes to the boat. We want to keep sharing with people, keep talking with people until that point to where their heart gets soft and they come to Christ. All right, it's something that, we got to put time into people. People every day are watching your words. They're watching your actions. They're watching your attitude. How you interact with people, your kindness, your gentleness, your patience. Most of all, your love. This is the bait you use to draw in people. The truth is, people are drawn to you before they are drawn to Christ. All right? You are what catches their eye. You are that shiny lure. And it opens the door to share Jesus because the way they see you when they look at you, you make Jesus look attractive. All right, and that's the bait that we want to put out there, that this is fishing, that people see us every day and they see Christ and they want to know what that is. Some people get mixed up in, they want to clean the fish before they catch them. All right, you can't clean a fish that you ain't caught yet. And too many people focus on this. We bring we bring these children in here on Wednesday nights, and, you know, we pick them up on the church bus, you know, these unsaved kids. We get them here, then we're, you know, surprised that they act like unsaved kids. All right? And it's just, you know, we should never expect people without Christ to live up to the standards that Christ set. You couldn't do it without Jesus. Why could they? You know, so it's something that we have to, you know, it's not our job to clean them. It's our job to get them here. Christ does the cleaning. All right? So it's something that, you know, never give up on it. Because, I mean, the truth is, they're going to catch some bad fish. You know, when they throw their nets and pull up fish, they didn't always catch the fish the kind they were after. They'd catch the, you know, the carp and the gar and some of them fish that just like, you know, you don't want anything to do with. All right? You're going to catch some rotten fish. You're going to catch some bad fish. You're going to catch, you know, if you fish like I do, you're going to catch rocks. You're going to catch trees. You know, you're going to catch a lot of different things. And what it's saying is you're going to get rejected. You're going to get mocked. You're even going to catch a genuine heart who wants Jesus, but they're unwilling to leave their worldly ways behind. You know, that's just how it is. So what we want to do is we want to focus on casting the net. We want to focus on how many times we throw it out there, not on how many we catch. Too many people worry about the results more than they do the fishing. Like I said before, it's not our job to clean the fish. Only God can do that. You're responsible for sharing the message to just enjoy a day of fishing. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 3 that some will plant, some will water, but it is God who gives them about it is God who gives the increase. You have no control over the number of fish that you catch. All right. You know, we read on in Mark 1, 19 through 20, we see that Jesus continues, said, when he had gone a little farther from them, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in a boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. You know, this is where some people, you know, they get tired of fishing because they don't catch anything. And we've got to take care of our equipment. And what I mean by that is get prepared for the next trip. You know, here we see James and John. Was they out fishing in their boat? No. They was out mending their nets. All right? They had already been fishing. You know, you find out you fish long enough, your line on your pole dries up and gets bad. Your net gets holes in it from catching things. You know, things wear out. And you have to, you know, you're like me, you catch that tree I was talking about, and you break off a hook. Do you quit? No, you tie on another hook. You put on more bait. And, you know, put on some new line, patch some holes. Sometimes you just work so hard catching fish, you need a rest. You know, and that's what James and them was doing at this time. They were getting prepared for their next one. They were taking a rest. You know, sometimes you just need a break. We get rejected. You get made fun of. But it's okay to stop and mend, pray, share with a mentor. Just stop and get filled with Jesus. Just go back to his word and find out where he would have you to be. And too many times people get to this point, and this is where they forget to cast again. They stop sharing. They stop caring. I think after all this mess we've been through with COVID, a lot of people quit fishing. I was included. I got to where I'd rather have been home by myself and separated from people than out fishing and doing things. But God really convicted me of that here lately. And we as a church, need to get out. We need to start casting again. We need to start fishing again. All right? And that's where, you look in Proverbs 24:16, it says, "For a righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again." We can't keep falling down and just quit. We've got to keep going. Get the net fixed. Tie on another hook. Just because you ain't catching any fish doesn't mean you got to stop going. I got talked earlier, Brother Lanny. Every time somebody didn't come forward during invitation, he just said, "Well, I ain't doing this anymore." Where would we be? Where would our church be? On Wednesday nights, you don't have kids that, you have a Wednesday night and kids don't get saved. You just quit? We just give up? No, don't even run the buses. They don't listen. They're unsaved. They ain't going to listen. They don't know. No, we don't give up. We keep going. It's the same way with whoever you're in your family, in at your work, wherever you're at. We have to keep going and keep talking to these people. Keep letting them see Christ in you. They see you frustrated and quit. What are they going to do? They're going to quit. They're not going to come. All right? Just because you didn't catch any fish today does not mean there won't be any fish tomorrow. Why is that? You look at Lamentations 3:23. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Church, understand that this, to be a fisherman, you don't have to have a specific degree or personality type. You have to be willing to do hard work, have patience, and the ability to not give up when you don't catch one. If you keep fishing, you're going to get better. All right, you're going to get better at it. I remember, the most nerve-wracking thing I ever did was when I accepted the youth leader thing, because I was like, I don't have a clue what I'm doing, and I didn't. I think at that time I had 2 kids, Michael Bessie and Royce Horn. I think was the 2 that was coming. Boy, I love them boys to death. They'd come. I'd say, "Boys, we're going to pick up trash on the highway this next week. We're going to do what?" I was searching for things to do to get these boys' attention. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but I kept fishing. And then we went from 2, then we went to 6, then we went to 10. I know there was a time we had 40 to 50 kids here on Wednesday nights. You just had to keep them. Did I get turned down? Was I disappointed? Yes. All right. But, Dalton, if I can give you any encouragement, keep fishing. They're out there. All right. And it's the same for all of us. There are so many out there. So, because I can promise you the reward of catching a fish and seeing it cleaned is worth the work. When you see people fall in love with Jesus, the joy far exceeds the pain. So, church, we need to go fishing. We need to get started catching. We do different programs here at the church. You know, like I said, we got the Awana. I know the ladies, they go on trips. We have, you know, the things for the kids. We have the camp coming up. You know, now is the time to start fishing for that. Right now. Get it ready. All right. I know I am. I've already started on it. All right. You know, we gotta get started fishing on that right now. I've read where if you find an unsaved family and you lead their child to Christ, you know, we get them here, you leave, you know, there's like a 26-27% chance you'll win the rest of the family. You know, you win the mom, you know, because be honest, you know, we get them children here, you start seeing mom showing up every now and then for different things, programs, you know, awards, whatever. You start seeing the mom. You win the mom to Christ, then it goes up to like there's a 40% chance that you'll win the rest of the family. Gentlemen, here's the fish you're after. You win the father in a household, there is a 94% chance the rest of that family will be saved. All right? That's the fish we need to be after, guys. All right? That's the ones that we need to be trying to catch. Those are the ones that are watching you at work. Those are the ones that are listening to you at work. How you act, how you talk. Are you partaking in the dirty jokes? Are you, you know, they watch everything. They see that. You know, I've caught myself in that place, you know, where I'd say something and then they turn right around and they ask me about Christ. And, you know, I'm like, well, why shouldn't I have said that? Caught me. How am I going to witness? How am I going? So people are going to watch you every day. You are the live bait that makes a difference. You are what's going to catch the fish and get them here to the boat. Get them here to church, and then we let God clean them once we get them here. All right? I mean, it's that simple. And who doesn't like the fish? I mean, really. I mean, yes, we all want to catch them every day. I mean, I like to go, and I like to catch fish. You know, I used to really get upset when I would watch somebody fish, and they catch this nice fish, and what's the first thing they do? Turn it loose. I used to get so mad at that, and I'm like, do you not know what that tastes like with cornbread? You know, but then, you know, the older I got, it was like, they're just enjoying the fishing. Right? They realize they're not the ones that does the cleaning. God does the cleaning. So, you know, let's enjoy it. Let's have fun. You know, I've spent, goodness knows how much. You know, I got a pond at my house that I had my neighbor, he cleaned it out, and I stocked it full of catfish just so them little guys could enjoy fishing. Teach them how to fish. And there'll be a day where I'll have that opportunity to use this and tell them how to be fishers of men. So just take a kid fishing. Take somebody fishing. And let them know that it gets better. All right? It gets better. So, Brother Matt, will you come? And whoever my couples are that are going to come and help me, to, you know, you need to come and speak to somebody. Today's the day. You need to be cleaned. Today's the day. Let Christ speak to you. Come up, you know, if you just need prayer, if you just, you know, you just need to talk to somebody about, well, I ain't been fishing very much. You know, come up and talk to one of these couples. Let them pray for you. Now, if you want to come and join this fishing club, come on up. We'll let you join here too. All right. So, now whatever God's laying on your heart today, just let Him speak to you. You know, because we're not going to stop fishing. We're going to keep going. We're going to win people to Christ. We got to show them our love every day. You know, and that is the thing that drawed me to this church more than anything was the love of this church. Something happens, you have people on your phone, you have people on your door. The love is at this church. So if you want to be a part of that, come and do that today. So, Matt?
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer.
I really want to encourage you this week to go home and check your tackle box. See what you're throwing. See if you need to change it up. And find those fish that need caught this week. And really pursue them. Put some time into it. And be getting ready. Bass Pro sends out a catalog every year with this big old book full of stuff to buy from. All right? This catalog to buy things. Every one of you has got your catalog sitting right beside you. All right? God's Word. Take it. Order from it. It will tell you how to get there. So, one of our men close us in prayer.
Our Father in Heaven, we thank you that our tackle box is written in your word, which assures us that one of these days we're going to end up on the streets of gold because somebody bothered to tell us about the gospel. We pray that all the people here that are listening, if there's anybody that's kind of holding out waiting for another day, well, say this day that it's time. It's time to take the word into their heart and be blessed. And instead of thinking about all the rules and the regulations that the world tries to make us think this all is, that they will see the main part of this is your love for us and how far it should reach down into our hearts and make us satisfied that one of these days, but also give us the desire to go out and tell other people, as Brother Roger has suggested, that it's time that we start doing. May we be a church on the move and winning souls because of the blessing it is. We thank you that he stepped forward to say this. We pray for our pastor and those who need help in this church that we can be a shining light to them. We also pray for the journey home and for the journey back here for those who come. And these things we pray for in the name of Jesus. Amen.